To all, from all of us to all of you, you're all Dedricks in our heart. Happy holidays.
My grandfather.
Oh, why don't you let me end the show? Boy, what day is it?
It is Christmas Day, sir.
No, it's not. It's a couple of days later than Christmas Day.
It's
boy,
a couple
you're
of
drunk.
Days
you've
later
been,
than
you've
Christmas
been,
Day,
you've
sir.
Been passed out in the snow, boy.
I think I've had a goose with salmonella, sir.
All
I'm
right.
Feeling a little wheezy, sir. I'm feeling a little... I think I'm actually going to...
Boy, you say you ate the Christmas goose? Then we must eat you, boy. It's a cannibal Christmas for all.
Yes.
Tiny Tim will grow fat on your stem cells.
Thanks, Ian, for bringing Christmas to everyone.
Well, you know, there you go. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick.
Not enough Dedricks in the room. I'm going to up at one. Everybody, welcome our special guest. I know him from Michael Roberts Roundtable. You also know him from Michael Roberts Roundtable. David knows him from Around the Family Table.
Yes.
It is Jason Dedrick. Here he is.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, sounds like...
There's some static there.
Sounds like a seal farted for a second there. Is everything okay?
Yeah, no, everything's fine. I'm sorry. I didn't know that the seal would do that.
I couldn't think of what animal would sound like that farting. It was like, what would have a real tight bum and would have a I guess a seal. That would have to be watertight,
yeah.
At the very least.
At the very least.
There are people in jail we can ask which animals have really tight bums.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you thinking seal prison?
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, I was just thinking the prison where they sent the artist seal.
Yes.
Oh, that was a bad prison.
That was... Was it?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
When you get a kiss from a rose on a... That's a bad night at that prison. How was your Christmas, Dave?
My Christmas was great, actually. I had a...
You were a little stressed
I was
before.
A little stressed on Thursday when I was here last Thursday, I was stressed because I have to admit I had not done one piece of shopping.
Let me tell you how stressed he was, Jason.
How stressed was he?
When he farted, it sounded like this.
That's more of a sea otter.
That's more
a
sea otter
fart.
Well, they hold hands. It's adorable.
Yes, I had farts like a sea otter for 4 days after that Thursday. Because, well, one thing that happened was I had ordered some DVDs for my daughters, and I had intended that to be the Santa present because they'd asked for some particular DVDs. And so I couldn't find them around town because there's nowhere left that sells things that are kind of obscure.
Digital versatile discs.
Yeah.
No, you have to order everything now.
You have to order everything now because if you go to the store, they'll have like... Season, you know, 5 and 7.
Yes.
But not 1 and 2.
No.
Because that would be silly.
Yeah.
You don't want to introduce people to the thing. You want them to start halfway near the end of it.
Exactly.
After the jump the shark. Mm-hmm. And when the, you know, when the actors were already like, had already left the show in their minds.
Wait, was this Jaws?
They're already, you know, what's that story?
Was this Jaws 4 you were looking for?
Jaws 4.
Yes.
Yeah, no, this was a TV show.
Because they had the novelization.
They had Jump the Shark by Jaws 4.
Okay.
Did you actually have the novelization of Jaws 4?
I did, but I didn't keep it.
Was it by Ellen Dean Foster?
I don't remember who it was by.
Because he's the king of novelization, am I right?
I don't know if you're right.
Okay.
You probably could be.
Check that out at home, kids.
I will check that out.
We had a prize, just to cut in. We had a prize when we did a comedy show years ago, and there was a book sale in the mall in White Rock, and I went and I bought every copy of every Jaws novelization and put it all into one box. So there was 5 copies of Jaws.
Cool.
3 of Jaws 2, Jaws 3, Jaws 4. And just crammed them all in there. First prize.
Nice. The first 3 pages of the Jaws novelization are just da 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 da, and then it's da 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 da.
Turning it faster.
To be fair, you guys, the first novel was not a novelization. It was actually the book that the movie was based on.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Written by Robert Benchley, the comedian from the 1930s.
Oh, neat.
Robert Peter Benchley.
That's right. And if people were so scared of sharks, if you threw the novel of Jaws into a pool, mm-hmm. people would just scatter.
They would run.
Because they hated reading.
Well, to be fair, it did have a picture of poo on the cover. So when you saw it floating...
Oh, that'd be adorable if you threw like a Winnie the Pooh stuffed animal into a pool and just went, pooed in the pool, and then everyone has to get out. Or just to actually have an episode of Winnie the Pooh where he goes in the pool and everyone leaves. That's even better.
And he just shrugs. What?
We actually had a listener.
Oh,
that happened twice to him at the public pool, that a child pooed in the pool during the swimming time. So I told him it was called a brownout.
We are really anal so far in this.
Yeah, let's clean this.
Yeah, we are having a bit of a brown
Christmas.
Can I
finish my Christmas story? Can I finish my Christmas story?
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Oh, yeah,
so I ordered these DVDs via a rather popular jungle-based online sales company.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They are based in the jungle.
Okay.
So I ordered from
Mowgli's. Mowgli's delivery service.
Mowgli's delivery service. That's right. Baloo R Us.
They just have the bare necessities of videos.
Exactly. So I ordered these videos from them. They're supposed to come on Thursday. You know the day that I did the show? Mm-hmm. They did not come. Perhaps that added to my stress level. So then I thought, well, for sure they'll come on Friday.
Of course.
Because I paid extra money, so they would come for the 20th. So then they didn't come on Friday. So then I phoned UPS, and they said, well, they said that they were ready for pickup. Like they made some sort of ticket, but they never actually were picked up. They weren't like sent out by the jungle-based company.
Was it jungle-based.ca or jungle-based.com?
Jungle-based.ca, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, jungle-based.ca doesn't know what they're doing.
So,
yeah, there's a lot of malaria.
So then I had to call them. And so they said, oh, well, you paid for those and you did pay for those days and you don't have them. So we'll send them out today for, you know, next day delivery. So you'll have them for Monday, which was Christmas Eve day. So I was nervous on Christmas Eve because, you know, like I say, these were the Santa gifts.
Right.
I wanted them desperately.
Yeah.
So I was like checking the computer and they didn't even say out for delivery. You know, like when sometimes you check and it'll have the nice green and it'll say out for delivery and you're like, on the way. It didn't say that. It just said it's been checked in at the depot. So then I'm like, does it get lost at the depot? Is it on the truck? I was so, but it did come, like it came about 11:45. So I could breathe easy. And because I like to have them delivered to where I work because it's just so annoying to get home and get a card that says, you know, you have stuff at the post office. Unfortunately, it's closed. Come by tomorrow. Oh, wait, you work and we're closed before you get home? Sorry. So I just got them delivered right to me at work. So I had to come in on Christmas Eve day. I wasn't actually planning to.
Oh, because you posted that thing on Facebook going like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
Nothing going on.
Yeah, I shipped one item. And actually, I didn't even ship it because the delivery guy didn't show up for pickup. So
it's Christmas Eve.
I said, why am I here? So I just left. Went home. Left early.
And what was it? What was your Christmas like, Jason?
Christmas becomes smaller and more boring every year for me and mine. And probably 3 years ago, I gave up really worrying about Christmas, which is probably a bad sign. I should probably seek some kind of
therapy. When the ghosts show up.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for that.
Hello.
So I didn't worry about – I was out a couple of weeks before Christmas, 3 weeks before Christmas, and with my significant other, Jennifer. My significant other, Jennifer. I have two Jennifers.
And one is insignificant.
That's right. She is nothing.
Oddly enough, she's my favorite. I'm always rooting for her.
I always feel that way. She's the Marianne of the island.
Yeah. By the end of the series, she'll be huge. But, yeah. And the rest. And she saw some boots at SoftMock. I'm always dropping plugs for SoftMock. And
thanks. We get a dollar per mention.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Excellent. We're going to all have soft mocks. They said that they would – I'm sorry. I went the following day. I encouraged her not to buy them that day. I said, well, no, don't worry about that. And I went down the following day and I said, I want a pair of 8.5 of those boots. And they said, we don't have those. But we can mail them to you. I said, oh, really? By Christmas? Yes, by Christmas. I said, all right, well, fine. So I paid for them. And every day I would check for that little card, like you were saying. Yeah. Says,
this is a Dedrick holiday tradition. The angry man by the mailbox.
Their arms crossed, impatiently tapping her foot.
What a Charlie Brown.
No Valentine's again.
Well, you know what's funny is I've walked many times past SoftMock, but I've never gone inside because I always thought it was a store that just kind of gently jibed you.
They do gently jibe you, as it turns out.
Yeah. Hey, that's a nice shirt. Do you like my shirt? It's really great. You shouldn't even be in here. You don't need new clothes. Wait a minute. Are you saying I do need new clothes?
You're too classy for this. You're
going to have the best Christmas ever.
Yeah, I guarantee it. Nice face for radio, by the way.
What? Well, I do a podcast. I believe it.
SoftMock, you bastards. Anyway, every day I checked diligently to see if there was a card at the door. And about 3 days before Christmas, I checked and there was no card. But Jennifer said, hey, what's this big box from SoftMock I brought in? I thought, oh, thanks, Canada Post / SoftMock.
Here's what you have to do. You have to go, pornography.
That's the first thing. That's the first go-to. I've learned that too. Because
and then if they go, oh, could I see it? No, it's just men-only pornography.
You know.
For men.
I share it with my other men friends.
Wait a minute.
For easy recognition.
The other guy's in the drum circle.
With Insignificant Steve and Significant Steve. The drum circle. That's even better. What you doing? We're just going to go off and beat off in the woods. What do you mean? Got a drum circle. Oh, I understand.
Oh, that must be cool. Can I come?
No.
No, don't come.
We're just going to slap the skins for a while. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Those drums can really talk.
You know, we were talking about, by the way, I was just talking about the ghosts, you know, Christmas ghosts. Yes. We watched a little bit of It's a Wonderful Life, mm-hmm. as you do. Now, It's a Wonderful...
Missed it this year.
What's that?
I missed the films that I loved, I loved to watch at Christmas.
It was the same as last year.
Me too.
I don't know why.
Is It's a Wonderful Life just the bizarro opposite of Christmas Carol?
Why?
Because here's you got Christmas Carol is a story of a guy who's greedy, selfish, but he's pretty good with himself. Okay, he's like, yeah, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good. I'm gonna have a nice meal, go to sleep. Pretty good Christmas for me. And the ghosts go, fuck that. You've got to take Christmas in your heart. Other guy, I'm good for everybody. I'm nice to everybody. Oh, I want to kill myself. Things are so bad. Yeah. Ghosts go, whoa, buddy.
Not you a ghost. Knocked, it's you, an angel, but anyway.
You knock that off. Okay, fair enough. You knock that off. And both of them end with them running through the street going, Christmas is awesome. Let's have them. Yeah, everything's great. You know, but it's basically the exact same thing, but flippity-doo-dah. So if you're a jerk, you get the miraculous intervention going, hey, it's all right. Yeah. And if you're a
sad,
swell guy.
Sad and desolate.
Swell guy.
Well, but he's swell, but he's also depressed and you know forlorn what? At the end of his rope.
I think he's happy.
Ready to jump?
I think he is generally happy.
Oh, that's the happiest moment when he jumps off the bridge. He just did it out of joy.
Whee! He's jumping for joy.
Whee! Collect the insurance policy on my death. Woohoo!
You're worth more dead than alive. Yeah, they don't pay you for suicide, though. I mean, fall in the water? What's that? How'd you fall off the bridge?
They don't know how it happened.
Really? They don't know how it
happened?
It was
that creepy old bridge keeper.
Yeah.
So you're telling me, okay, here's the situation. I'm Johnny Insurance Man.
I'm Johnny Dollar?
I was going to say Johnny Dollar, but Johnny Dollar wasn't.
They cut the part of where he got that gay guy to put his gate. Gay guy. Sounded like it's a gay guy, didn't it? The bridge keeper.
Because you did. Put his, actually, he was in a drum circle.
Wait
that
second.
Doesn't mean anything.
I'm just going to stop the show for a second and reverse the tape and listen to
this. They call him the little drummer boy.
Just one second. Okay, I did say gay guy. I meant bridge keeper.
Okay. Yeah.
He got him to put his hands on his back.
Yeah.
Before he jumped in.
Oh, so put some fingerprints on there for murder?
Exactly. So when Johnny Dollar showed up.
He was there. Well, but here's the thing.
By the way, he was an insurance investigator.
He was.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for the life insurance thing and you go like, hey, what happened? Oh, he just died. Oh, okay. Anything happened that day? Oh, yeah. He was accused of like embezzling the entire town's fortune. Sounds like it was an accident. Here's your insurance.
He crashed his
money.
Car.
That's right. Crashed his car. And even
he was drunk.
Yelled at his children. Was drunk. Right. Broke up his cardboard city that he'd carefully constructed around his drafting table.
And then accidentally died. Well, here's your insurance. Also, like, let's say they did collect the insurance.
Do you know what would have happened?
Okay, please.
The daughter would have been arrested.
Zuzu?
They would have found the petals in his pocket.
Ah.
And they would know that she had done it. Columbo there.
Just one more question.
One more question, just Zuzu.
Sorry,
Zuzu. It's a very rare flower.
Interesting. I just don't know why a man would put petals in his pocket. It's just, you know.
But let's go to the legal ramifications. Say you're a fella and you actually do rob the family bank. Right?
Okay.
Now, isn't the family on the hook for some of that dough? So if you get then dough from an insurance, wouldn't the insurance money just immediately go to the lawsuit that is coming next day for, you know, hey, you owe the town all this money? That, you know, you're not even making a profit. So you're not more worth more dead than alive.
I think it's time that you shut up, Ian, and quit ruining that movie for me.
Makes no damn sense.
That's my third favorite Christmas film.
But you know what's interesting, though, before we jump off of it, is I think you're right.
But we need to know your second and first later. Okay,
exactly. I'm going to put my hand up so we will remember that we're going to come back to that.
Mr. Dedrick, shut up. Mr. Dedrick, go forward. Because Significant Dedrick, go. Insignificant Dedrick.
Because I think you have a point in that he is a bit of a dick at the end, Jimmy Stewart there, because he takes all that money. He says, I'll promise to pay all this back. All those people finally give him that money that he's been owed all the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So he is a bit of a dick at the end of it.
Hmm? Well, his personality.
Welcome to Dedrick versus Dedrick.
His personality. I mean, we have seen this guy sacrifice himself through the whole film. I mean, the movie opens with him sacrificing himself for his brother.
Yeah. Well, his ear.
Yeah, well,
as yes. it turns out. No, you're right. He does. He sacrifices himself.
He doesn't know what's going to happen. He could drown too, right?
He could drown too. You're right.
He jumps in without a moment of thought, jumps into freezing cold water to save his brother.
What are you going to do? Just stand there and just go, hey, what happened to your brother?
He
fell down. Oh, well, here's the insurance money. gives me an idea for the future.
Hee-haw! That guy.
I did make $1 million.
Sam Wainwright.
I made $1 million. It came true.
He gets the crap beaten out of him by Mr. Gower.
Right.
To save that small child
could've
from taking poison.
Him. Yeah.
He could have just delivered it. He could have just went, whatever.
Also, by the way, you can fight an old man like that. Just take him down. There's enough stuff in that room.
Yeah.
Boom!
We've all seen Reacher. We've all seen the movie Reacher. We know it. Just kick him in the nuts.
Yeah.
Which happens about 6 or 7 times in that film. Apparently, it's a great way to fight people. Nutshot.
Yeah. I was told it was unfair, but works every time.
Yes, exactly. Well, I think it's something that...
or trying to kiss your opponent.
Martin Amis said in the book London Fields, which is when you are in a fight, you immediately start with the head, with the... what do they call that? The head...
Butt?
Headbutt, yeah. Like you just go straight from zero to nuclear annihilation. Like you don't build your way up to headbutt. You just start at headbutt. Same way. You don't build up to nut... You just start there. You just kick them in the nuts. Then they're laying on the ground.
Yeah. Fight's over.
By the way, it
only hurts me half as much, by the way.
Dedrick family Christmas tradition.
Speaking of nuts, does Nutshows still exist? That chocolate? Remember that used to be the popular chocolate, and now it's not in
existence? Beloved in all schoolyards.
until everyone got nut allergies. That's right. Killed them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nutshows doesn't seem to exist anymore. Strange.
Yeah.
Sued by Nutshows.
What about Poppycock?
Poppycock still exists.
Poppycock, nachos, balls, any other balls? It's all sort of...
Yeah, all ball related. No, your after eights still exist in many different forms.
Yeah, popcorn balls. You don't really see those anymore. Like, you'd be given like this giant hard to chew. Because it's impossible to take your first bite of it, right? It was round and big. So you're like, oh, rub. rub your teeth down it.
Yeah.
Squeak.
Oh, rub. What is this thing? Get your dad's hammer.
Well, then your uncle will give you the popcorn ball, and your aunt would give you the butter ball, and then it was up to you to fix that mess.
Right, on the salt ball.
And now go to the movies. Enjoy. Now, here's the thing about Scrooge that I was talking with my wife about. You think like Scrooge is, oh, greedy, bad guy.
Yeah.
But you got to realize something about Scrooge, and that is like Scrooge does not spend money on himself as well. He is a proper miser. As poor as he's keeping everyone else, he's not in his room all heated up.
No.
He's as cold
as living in Jacob Marley's house. Like when Jacob Marley dies, he moves in. He's like, well, that's a perfectly nice place.
Yeah.
And it's probably paid up for the month.
Yeah.
He probably like, you know... When he died, there was probably still like some time left on the
Absolutely.
On the meter.
And what's he eating on Christmas Christmas Eve? Gruel.
Gruel. Mm, yeah.
Sour gruel.
Not just that, but it had chunks of potato in it that apparently cause hallucinations of ghosts.
Yes, right. So it's old potato.
Old potato with gravy that causes hallucinations.
Yeah,
exactly.
Probably had a lot of mushrooms in that.
So that's where you go like, well, he's a jerk, but at least he's an even jerk. Like he's a jerk to himself as much as everyone else.
That's true.
But it's okay to be a jerk to yourself. You just can't be a jerk to other people. No, that's not true at all.
Right.
And he does give Cratchit the day off. He says, he even suggested, I suppose you'll want the whole day off tomorrow.
Yeah.
He didn't ask. So, oh, yeah, great. That's awesome.
Yeah, so he gives him the day off. Yeah. And he's a supporter of both workhouses and prisons.
He grudgingly gives him
that.
He is not a supporter of, he's a supporter of them that he likes them. He doesn't actively pay for them.
Yes, he does.
He pays in his taxes. Well, yes, through his taxes. We pay for a lot of things that we don't support.
I bet a lot of people in Victorian England did not pay their taxes. I bet Bob Cratchit didn't pay his taxes.
I bet you he did. He's not in the poorhouse.
Spent all his money on Tiny Tim and his like
He's not in the poorhouse. He's not
crutches, fancy crutches.
Because in those days, when you owed money, you had to go live in a debtor's prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like which I don't understand. Like, how are you going to pay off your debt and now you're in prison? Like, what?
That
what,
is so.
What are you actively
David,
doing?
That is so different than today. Where you take a guy who was selling pot and then put him in prison and it's $70,000 a year to pay for that guy. Well, thank you, society. We sure showed you. How about that, buddy? How about that?
Oh, but he actively broke a law. Like the other, I mean, if you just owe money, is that really you've broken the law that you are in debt?
Well, what you don't know is Bob Cratchit had a gambling problem. First of all,
Cratchit was not in debt.
Yeah, he sold Tiny Tim's leg for gambling. That's what people don't realize.
Tiny Tim is Tiny Tim not missing a leg?
Yeah.
He's missing a piece of his heart.
No, well, I know what you're saying. You're saying, oh, Tiny Tim has the one game leg. But no, he cut the other leg off. We just talk about the game leg because a wooden leg ain't even worth mentioning
fine,
in Victorian England.
Uh-huh.
That's
dime
industry
a dozen.
Standard for a child then.
It's a dime a pence there.
That's
I mean,
dime
pence
a pence.
Pence a dozen, I meant to say. Pence a dozen.
No,
that's
no. I think dime a pence,
no,
that's good value.
I think
that's where inflation comes from.
I think they're wrong. Okay. three favorite Christmas films?
Yes.
For me?
Okay, go.
So for, third, It's Wonderful Life. Second, A Christmas Carol or Scrooge, if you prefer. The Alistair Sim version.
Only the Alistair Sim version?
Only the Alistair Sim.
Which is great if you see, it's got the nice blooper where you can see the guy in the mirror.
Yeah.
But you don't want people to tell you that because then you just notice the rest of your life.
Do you know what I loved was when they turned it into color and they colored the guy in the mirror. Yeah. Just like, this would be the time to just not do that get away with it.
Yeah. First favorite Christmas film is Remember the Night. That's my first favorite.
I'm going to go my first two. First favorite Christmas film is Die Hard. Second favorite Christmas film is Love Actually. Do not have a third famous Christmas. Oh, I guess It's a Wonderful Life would be a third.
What about The Ref? The Ref can be your third.
People do mention The Ref. I have not. Wait, did I see The Ref? I did see The Ref. I saw it at Granville 7 Cinemas.
Kevin Spacey and Granville 7 Julia Cinemas this year. Davis, is it?
What's that?
Kevin Spacey and is it Julia Davis?
I forget who the wife is in it. I just remember, what's her name?
She was in like Husbands and Wives and stuff.
Glynis Johns is the cranky old mother-in-law in it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, nice one. Okay. Good memory. Good pull to
Glynis Johns. The soundtrack was produced by Glyn Johns, so it was really weird. Glyn Johns?
That's not true. Right. You're lying about that.
Just like you're lying about your last name.
Frederick and all.
Yeah, hey.
It's pronounced completely wrong. It's pronounced Dedrick with a big Y in there.
I think it's pronounced Diedrich, according to every person I've ever known in my life.
Why are you afraid of our Nazi heritage?
That's right. Grandpa sort of played that down. No, we're Irish. I don't think we're Irish. No.
Our name is British.
British
as can be, yes. It's British as can be.
Which I always, could be more British.
I always wondered.
Could be Boothby. That's more British.
That probably is a bit more British.
That sounds a bit British.
That sounds a little German to me.
What about
Boothby?
Boothby.
Okay, Dave threw up the Heil Hitler sign. So to be fair, you could do that with a Snickers. See, I just did
that. Yeah, Snickers is very German.
Yeah, Snickers.
I never realized that until you said it.
Oh, Snickers. Sergeant Snickers.
I never realized that until you said it.
I know nougat.
It was when I was reading...
Peanut?
I was reading Dickens' Bleak House, and there's a character in there, Lord Dedlock. D-E-D-L-O-C-K.
Really?
He's also a Micronauts villain.
That's interesting. Yes, that's right. That's interesting. And is that true?
Nope.
Oh.
I never read the Micronauts, but I played with them in the bathtub.
I played
Baron
with them too.
Karza is the centaur Darth Vader of the Micronauts universe.
I had him.
You had him?
Yeah, I had the toy. He was all magnetically connected together, and he shot a red missile out of his tummy.
That's right. That's why he was better than Darth Vader. Yeah. Also, he was half horse.
He was half horse.
In the Micronauts?
Yeah.
He could become half horse. He was like Darth Vader who could become a centaur and shoot a missile out of his chest.
I had a lot of
also,
Micronauts
as a child.
Also,
he could shoot his hands off. He could choke you from across the room. Not that, ooh, I got the force, so I'm sort of choking. No, fucking hand off across the room, around your neck, chokey, snap back. Now I'm a horse. Good day. Off he goes.
My little
clop,
pony.
Clop. Pulling a cart as he left.
That's right. He had deliveries to do.
Yay. The little Thelwell kids bouncing up and down on his back.
Mr. Toad on his back. Away we go now.
Woohoo.
So what are your three Christmas movies?
I think Alistair Sim's Christmas Carol, It's a Wonderful Life, and Holiday Inn, if I can find Holiday
Very
Inn.
Very nice. We have discussed that
Holiday Inn,
that
that's
movie,
the Danny Kaye and Bing Crosby?
No, it's the pre-White Christmas. White Christmas.
It's the one Christmas in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it has Bing Crosby
there.
We talked about that on our racist episode with David M.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, the racist episode.
I think we put up a clip of... Does that have a minstrel show in it?
I think it does have a minstrel show.
We put up a clip of that minstrel show, I believe. Yes. Wow. So that was the one where David M. came to the studio in blackface.
He came in. We couldn't stop him.
No, why would you?
Why would you? You can't censor other people.
No.
And we are for cultural diversity in
we
this
are.
Podcast.
Even that's if right. it's only painted on cultural diversity.
Well, that's what Canada is for the most
that's
part.
That's what Canada. Yeah. We're for cultural.
That was the only show we got any funding for.
I'm for cultural adversity. So.
Do you guys remember, just because it popped into my head, it would be about 75, 76 when... Happy Days is in its hey, and they did the American Christmas Carol
with Henry Winkler, of course, yes.
As part of
Happy Days?
No.
But everybody watched it because that's how it was done in those days.
Yeah, okay.
That is correct. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. It was disturbing seeing him all grouchy. And then I had to go to bed, so I couldn't see how it ended.
I was going to ask you guys because I thought if anybody's going to remember how it ends.
I saw half of it. Man. It was like A Sound of Music where I never knew that the guy turns into a Nazi at the end. Like I never knew, you've ate little girl on an empty stage. I never knew that guy. All of a sudden, Nazi's up by the second, loses his ability to sing as you do when you turn Nazi.
Yeah.
That fucking like really bothered me. Like, because I watched the first hour all the time where it's happy, go lucky, good times. And then
I've never seen The Sound of Music.
Never seen it.
Never.
See, my parents loved
spoiler,
it.
Spoiler, there's a Nazi at the end.
Well, it is a true story. Yeah. So spoilers, there were real Nazis.
What?
I don't know if you heard of
them. Spoilers on Schindler's List, guys.
What do you mean there was a list? The Sound of Music ruined my birthday when I was younger.
That is such a great setup for a story.
Well, because my parents, they had promised me they were going to go to a movie for my birthday.
And leave you at home alone?
No. We were going to go
with a stack of magazines.
Like, you know,
oh, wait a second.
We were going to go to the theater.
Drum circle.
And that's where it started. And but as it turned out, Sound of Music was on, and they were so excited that they just like kind of went, no, we didn't say we're going to a movie. Oh, no. Sound of Music's on. We want to watch Sound of Music. We didn't say anything about a movie. So it's kind of like, what kind of a movie? What? This is so unfair. So, yeah, I watched Sound of Music with a great deal of bitterness.
How old were you at the time?
Grade 4.
You should have gone to a movie.
I couldn't, like, go by myself?
Yeah.
Just get on the bus and go?
Yeah. What, grade 4? How old are you at grade 4? You're 9.
I was going to movies by myself then, but this was like a birthday party with other people.
Ah,
like
I see.
Other friends and stuff. We were all supposed to troop into the car and get driven to the movie.
So the friends had to stay and watch Sound of Music as well?
Yeah, they just kind of like, that was the end of the party.
Okay. That's especially a stinkeroo. Yeah, that's no good. Listen,
so, yeah.
Whenever you finally have to, you know, kill your parents, as we all do, you can mention that just before you do it.
Just before I gently slip my hand over my mom's nose and mouth?
I was thinking use a pillow. A nice embroidered pillow.
I like a personal touch.
With a goodbye needle pointed on it.
I like the personal touch.
It's just the image of the sound of the poster. Needle pointed on, just like, I think you know this was coming. This was inevitable.
That's right. You remember 1974? Needle still in the needle point.
The hills are alive.
Unlike you and Dad are.
The sound of murder.
The sound of murder.
Well, you know, actually, the Dedrick family, we're an incredibly close-knit family. I think you would agree with that, right, Jason?
I certainly would for this bit.
We would.
My gift for you this Christmas see each is a
other,
setup.
We see each other once a year, no matter what, is what I'm saying. Once a year. Dedrick family gets together.
Yeah.
All of us.
And celebrate. Choose which one of us to die.
Celebrate. It's like
Logan's
lottery.
Run. The
lottery. Logan's Run. Yeah, lottery. That's right. The one with the white pebble.
Is eaten.
In their piece of turkey. Oh, it's terrifying when you're eating your turkey. Oh, my God.
Where's Lee? I thought Lee was coming.
He fell in the pool. That happened one year at Christmas at our house. Do you remember that one? Were you there for that one? You were there. I don't know if you remember.
I don't remember. Really?
Yes.
In Delta?
For some reason, we had all decided it would be a great idea to clump around outside near the pool. And our youngest cousin, who was, I think, 3 at the time,
right,
fell through the ice.
Oh, that's less funny now that I know they're 3.
Into the pool.
I thought it was just a big fat guy named Lee, which is hilarious. But 3-year-old, not so good.
No.
I'm going to imagine him as a big fat guy. Go ahead.
Fortunately, my fast-thinking brother, Glenn, just snatched him. It was just like instantaneous. It was like fall, grab, and he was out of the
water. Oh, I do remember that. It was like he didn't get wet.
Yeah.
It was like he went in and came out without actually getting wet.
I know. It was crazy.
He had that gaffer hook, and that was the shame
that was
of
the problem. Because he hooked him right under the chin, and it came out through his cheek. And it had that barb on it that made it so hard to take out.
Yeah.
And basically, we had to push the whole gaffer hook with the handle back out through the
chest. And then the horrible thing was, he was so small, you still had to throw him back.
He's only a 3-year-old. Splash.
That's right.
Why were we outside? That's a real question.
I don't know. But
it was wintertime.
What's nicer than having a Christmas party outside by the pool?
Boxing Day. Woo, that's right. Let's have a pool party.
Desperately trying to convince ourselves of this Palm Springs.
We were laying with in our Speedos in lawn chairs around the pool.
So where were you going with the story about that your close family? Was that it? Just that you see each other once a year?
Yeah, we only see each other once a year.
That's enough.
Do you think so?
Yeah, an update. Yeah, how you doing? Good.
Goodbye.
Yeah, if there's something significant, like, say, Jason explodes, he'll go to his explosion wake.
Right. We'll go to a memorial.
Yeah, oh, sorry, that's what I meant. A memorial, not an explosion wake.
Yeah, I don't think that's what
they're
called.
That was in the fine print.
That's
why everybody understood it was an explosion
wake. We should call it a memorial, and someone's there. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Explosion wake. That doesn't sound as good.
Celebration of life.
An explosion wake, you would have to all be at the different places where he landed and just remember him with candles.
Oh, here's a drop of him. But that's been a long-standing tradition. When we were younger, I think it was about 47 people was the family.
Yeah, at the height of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, when everybody was still alive.
Everyone was still alive.
I think you're right.
And all the little ones were little. like, because there's kind of two generations in our family. It's, our family's weird because there was the four older ones. Am I right? Or three older ones?
Am I in that?
No, I'm just talking about like my, for
oh,
our dads.
Oh, yeah, exactly. There was, yeah.
The four.
Yeah.
And then there was three that kind of came a little along 10 years later or something.
Yeah.
And so
pre-war and after war kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, after the war, Grandpa got busy. I don't know why.
Boom, chicka, wah, wah, because his drum circle shut down and he had to come home.
He did it before and he can do it again and he will do it again and again and again.
I guess that's it. He wasn't walking around at night going, turn out that light.
He was a cat in a Looney Tunes cartoon. Why is that cat telling people to shut out the light? I don't get that.
Yeah, that's weird.
But Grandpa did that. He was actually a
air raid patrol guy.
Patrol guy. Yeah, yeah. Not that there were a lot of air raids in Vancouver during World War II, but just in case.
Yeah,
we're
he was on the job.
We're coastal.
Yeah.
Situation. Yeah. So there you go. Or you could have just said, "Hey, Victoria, give us a call if you see anything," and then we'll
helpful.
Be ready 30
too.
Minutes later. So we could do that, and then we don't have to do that. How about we do that instead?
No. We'd rather have people walking around with strangely flat helmets on.
Yes, oddly flat helmets. Ill-fitting flat helmets. And plus, if they had to call, they'd have to do that whole Klondike 5 business. It would.
Oh, yeah. Is that you, Mert? How's every little thing? I really shouldn't. I've got to be polite to Mert. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, anyway, long story short, air raid.
That's right. Japanese are here.
You're called, sir.
Would you hold, sir?
We will connect you with the Japanese. No, I'm trying to tell you, the Japanese. I will connect you with Japan. No! Oh, the long distance charges.
Such a worry in those days.
Long distance was so expensive.
It was such a worry.
It would make your parents' noses bleed.
Yes.
Which is like someone would call, just like, everyone say hi fast, as fast as possible.
Well, you had family in Britain, so that was probably.
We did.
That was worse, right?
What would that cost, though? Like, realistically, what would that call?
It was probably like a lot of money in those days.
5-minute call to England in the 70s would cost $20?
That was a lot of money, though.
No, what it cost? I'm making up a fee.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It was enough to go, ooh!
It was.
Yeah. Enough that when the bill came, it'd be like, well, who called here? Who was that?
A classic Uncle George.
And what happened to my nose that I'm so nasal?
No, he was doing an actual impersonation of his father.
Oh, were you?
That was so,
oh, I'm terribly sorry for mocking your father.
No, because that was it. Because actually,
Jason, that was a soft mock.
Oh. Can I return these boots to you? They're the wrong size.
That was Elton John's song, Soft Mock. I remember when mocks were soft.
The Soft Mock Cafe, 104.3.
We were talking about last night.
Yes, that our dads all have reunion characters. Because I guess because they only got together once a year.
But it's when they talk to each other, even on the phone.
That's true.
Even on the phone. Like when my dad would call my grandfather, he would go from normal speaking voice, like, hey, Dave, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to call my father. How's everything at Willingdon on the Water?
Yes.
What's going on there? Hey. Every time, and when they all get together as a group, all the brothers, it immediately became this like weird voice thing.
It's like someone starting up four different faulty W.C. Fields machines.
Well, that's the thing. It's like they couldn't express emotion to each other.
No.
So they had to like hide even further behind this ironic voice. It's like, what are you doing? Merry Christmas. I'm sincerely wishing you a happy new year with this strange
Well, David, how are you? Keeping well? All this weirdness.
I don't want to get dark with you guys, but does this go to somber events as well, or is it just celebrations? Like, if you had to get together for, God bless, like a funeral, would all of a sudden, I miss the fella.
I think so.
What a guy.
It would. Because I even think that my dad kind of slipped into that voice at your dad's funeral.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When he was
talking about your dad,
he's just like, you know, well, George and his dame, he started doing his voice. And you're like, what the hell? No.
Yeah, I know.
Do not go there.
And my impersonation of my dad is becoming an impersonation of your dad.
Well, they're all the same.
You know, it's sort of a thing where you do this with your mouth. You sort of come in like that. So, well, I don't know about that.
It's odd. It's an odd.
It's a strange thing. It's this weird, ironic distancing.
I just love all the W.C. Fields. Like, we're just trying to get an even break here, guys.
And then
I'm not going to give you one.
In the peak days, of course, they would get together in the kitchen and they'd all start harmonizing together.
Yes.
Singing their song. Well, you know, we should be doing Sweet Adeline.
Now, did they ever perform together on stage?
I don't know.
Just in a minstrel show.
This is the kind of, this is the kind of question, guys. Ask now.
Well, you know,
ask.
My grandfather wrote the school anthem for, what was it, Burnaby Central?
Kingsway West.
Kingsway West.
Yes.
Do you want to sing it?
I don't remember anything other than hooray for Kingsway West.
B-U-R-N-A-B-Y again.
Well, that was the Burnaby theme.
That's the Burnaby. The name that tops them all. Those who try and beat us soon will find that we won't be second. We'll leave them behind. We're always first in education and fair play. So welcome, neighbor high.
So let's all thank our lucky stars that we're here. Say it's our favorite municipality. It's B. You are an
ABY. I can remember the end of that.
New
one.
Westminster can suck my cock all day long on Sunday.
That was in the drafts. We saw those. We found the drafts after Grandpa
hey,
died.
Hey, Pocahquitlam, go fuck yourself.
But my grandfather actually did write a black and white minstrel play.
He did.
Called The Old Rastus.
Yes.
The Old Rastus. O-L. Apostrophe
is it, or
Rastus.
Is it Old Rastus? O-H.
No.
Like, Old Rastus.
No, it was The Old Rastus. The old, like the old character, you know, like that old character, that old, that cunning old Rastus.
Right.
Because a lot of minstrel shows was about putting words into the mouths of people. The underclass could say things that you couldn't say as like a white person right. of that time couldn't say. Like if you listen to Amos and Andy shows, they're saying like a lot of things for the underclass that you wouldn't hear in a normal show because, you know what I mean? Because you can put those things in those simple people's, I'm putting that in in commas, those simple people's mouths, you could say things, you know, I'm just talking about how people viewed the show, right? You could say things in that show that you wouldn't say in like Life of Riley or whatever. You wouldn't have those same kind of themes. Because I was listening to a Christmas one, Amos and Andy Christmas, and I was shocked at like where they were going with it. And I was like, wow, this show's really daring. But I guess for the time, because it was these people saying it, it seemed okay.
Which is white people pretending to be black people.
Well, but you know,
the
they're still black people.
The okay-ometer was
off. Gotcha.
But they're still black people to the people listening,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Right. I've got a side bit of trivia that, about the Amos and Andy show that I'm going to tell it to you right now.
Awesome.
Campbell's Soup came up with a product called Chicken and Noodle Soup.
Okay.
And they decided to advertise on the Amos and Andy show, and in the parlance of the time, he would call it Chicken Noodle Soup.
Okay.
And so people remembered it as chicken noodle soup.
Yeah.
And Campbell's just went, I just call it chicken noodle soup.
Yeah.
That sounds ridiculous, but. So chicken noodle soup is named after a slang Amos and Andy phrase.
Wow.
That's your trivia of the day.
Well, that, show, that show
enjoy
was amazingly
your racist
popular.
Soup, everybody. Not that it was really racist, but enjoy your soup with ethnic twist of the time.
I mean, when the TV show was on, they did use black actors for their characters.
Yes, they did.
But they had the voices dubbed by white actors.
But they had voices dubbed by white actors.
Peter
I mean, it's
Graves.
More... I mean, I can see why people don't like Amos and Andy, and I can see why minstrel shows are upsetting. But I think it's worse, like, something like Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's playing a Japanese character.
That's crazy.
Because that's the 60s. Like, come on.
Well, I mean, remember Jerry Lewis in Hardly Working, which I think was the 70s.
Okay.
And he's, like, got the full glasses and buck teeth.
I think that's 80s, actually. Like,
wow.
Early, like, 1980
really?
Or whatever, yeah.
Well,
that's something,
right on the cusp,
something
yeah.
too. Yeah.
yeah.
It's of the... Yeah, and again, when people say Amos and Andy, bad, you also got to look at, like, it's got a lot of baggage from what was going on around at the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, it on its own, taken... isolated, you can go, well, it's not the worst thing in the world. But then you go like, man, what else was going on? Yeah, okay. Connected with,
yeah.
and you can't separate from, and there you go. So yeah, all right, fair enough. But
yeah.
some good jokes on the show.
Some good jokes on the show, and Step and Fetch It was the first black millionaire, right? Isn't that a trivial
I don't
fact?
Know, but I will sign off on that.
I've got a question for both of you fellas. So you got Little Rascals, right? And you got your buckwheat.
I have hemorrhoids. you call them
oh, Little Rascals is crabs. That's slang for crabs. Fair enough. Well, I'm talking about the R yeah. Gang series.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the one that's got the one guy who was a murderer later. Anyway.
Alfalfa.
What's that?
Was that Alfalfa?
No, he was murdered.
No, no. Robert Blake.
Oh, Robert Blake, sure.
Robert Blake was
But also his. Spanky McFarlane murdered his business partner.
Oh, okay. Two murderers.
Yeah.
Spanky McFarlane
I'm
murdered.
Pretty sure Alfalfa or Spank or one
no,
of them
No, not
did.
Alfalfa because I actually know something about Alfalfa.
Alfalfa
later.
Was in It's a Wonderful Life.
That's interesting too.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah. He's the guy who, and when they're at the dance and he asks Donna Reed's character.
Right. He's yes.
leaning on his hand. He's leaning on his hand. The guy comes over and goes, listen, this floor has a pool underneath it. And he's does the classic snap your fingers and look. You know, they might as well put a light bulb above his head. They hadn't quite gone that far.
Yeah, friend of mine's father claims to have almost been killed by alfalfa, but that's a completely different story.
Okay.
He was here during World War II.
That's right. Yeah, I can tell you that story afterwards. But here's my question about the R Gang series. So you got your alfalfa and you got your buckwheat. Mm-hmm. Did they just name kids after like wheat?
Essential grain.
Like yes. I get that. Like essential one grain. Of them is named
it's
after
buckwheat
grain.
And essential grain.
Yeah, and then there was grape nuts.
Grape nuts. That classic character.
There was barley, rye, there was all those. It's just like, you know, what was that about? Like, why would you get named after wheat?
Yeah. I could I was never able to I could never transmit my love of Little Rascals to my daughters. Like, I showed it to them when they were younger. Mm-hmm. This whenever they had like, and that was the age I loved it. Like, you know, you'd come home from school and they would have like the half an hour. Little Rascals, you know, that's the various shorts and stuff of that put together. I mean, the He-Man Woman Haters Club? Come on!
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's how I would do it if I was you, and you can't go back in time. But you will have grandchildren at some point, and yes. This is what I want you to do.
Feed them buckwheat.
All right. You take the Walt Kelly Little Rascals comics.
Yeah.
First, you develop a love of their, you know, Archie or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you slip on one of those.
Okay.
They start liking the Little Rascals. Mm-hmm. You know, by the way, there's a TV show with that. Uh-huh. Boom. You got them. You got them that
I
way.
I guess so, but I never went that route. I mean, I know
you didn't.
They were on, and I liked them.
I know you didn't.
But we lived in a weird time where you could watch color and black and white, and you didn't think about it.
Yes.
You know, like there were black and white Popeye cartoons on, and you didn't think, gee, it's black and white. I'm turning off the television and going outside. Boo, black and white. But I've had friends of my daughter come over, and my daughter wants to show them the Marx Brothers. They're like, nah, it's black and white. I don't want to watch it. Oh, no, it's hilarious. No. No, black and white. Nah, don't like it. Well, which is weird.
Do you know what would go well now? My alfalfa and World War II story.
There we go.
Okay.
Here we go. All right. Now, this may not be true, but my friend's father swears it's true, and he seemed sincere at the time. So
right.
he was in the Air Force here with the actor who played alfalfa, who was serving here.
I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
I think his name was Wheatgrass McShaftigold.
Wow.
All right. So
good thinking on your feet there.
So anyway, one of the jobs they had was testing parachutes. And how you would test parachutes was you would fly and you would throw a dummy out of the plane and watch the parachute and see, oh, it works.
Okay.
So he's doing this by the Lionsgate Bridge, which is where they used to do this. And they're supposed to roll the plane. I'll strap myself in. Dummy falls out of plane. Here we go. Well,
oh, why are you rolling the plane?
Dude, I don't fucking know.
Okay.
If you want to start picking nits.
I'm picking nits.
This story just goes to hell.
Okay.
Okay, anyway.
Kind of like It's a Wonderful Life.
Long story short, signal misinterpreted by alfalfa. Here's something in the cockpit that is not this, because something in the plane goes bang, bang, bang. And it's like, oh, well, time to roll the plane. Rolls it. Guy falls out of the plane with the dummy. Drag onto the dummy for dear life.
Yeah.
By Lionsgate Bridge.
Yeah.
People taking pictures of it at the time, so it was in the paper the next day.
There's pictorial evidence.
There's apparently, did not see pictorial evidence, but apparently is. Check your microfiches, people.
Yes.
Pulls the parachute while holding onto dummy for dear life.
Yeah.
Lands, lives.
Do they have to pull the parachute? When the parachute automatically deploy when the dummy left the...
Good point. That does make more sense.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, parachute does deploy, falls in water, goes back to army base. Alfalfa's in tears, thinking he killed a guy.
Yeah.
Punches alfalfa in the face. That's the story.
That's kind of unfair. Yeah. He was actually remorseful of what happened. And
yeah, but he also dropped him out of a plane. So you get a punch in the mush in the 40s.
Yeah.
You know, that seems fair. You get a punch in the mush for looking at a guy cockeyed.
Yeah.
You drop him out of a plane.
That's true.
You get a fistful of five.
Oh. In the 70s here in Vancouver, you got a punch in the face for looking at, in the 80s even.
But it seems like a punch in the face in the 70s hurt more than a punch in the face in the 40s. You watch guys get punched in the face in the 40s. It's like,
That's where they got that voice from.
Yeah, what? What are you, a wise guy? You just punched me in the nose.
You see a guy punch in the face here. The guy's hurting, and the guy's hand is, oh.
Yeah, he's going to, yeah.
Gotta shake it off. Oh, shake off the pain.
Teeth cut the knuckles. But now that makes sense to our parents' voices. They were all punched in the mouth in the 40s. Because now they're all
this. Yeah, it's grandpa.
Whoa.
What you didn't see was they punched each other first. They go in
that's right.
Beat each other up as brothers do.
Yeah.
And then
they come out.
See?
Willingdon on the water.
Now, I don't want to steer this boat aggressively, but we were going to talk about movies.
Oh, our favorite films.
Our favorite films. I don't know what time it is, David. I don't know.
I don't know what time it is at all. What time is it? You mean and where we are on the show? Yeah, this is a good time to start, actually.
It's a good time to start.
Yeah, it's a good time
to
start.
Now, David, before this show, you contacted me and you said, Ian, think of your top 5 movies.
I actually said top 20.
Okay. And you said, of 1987. And I went, you son of a bitch. He's Untouchables.
It's not even on Wikipedia.
Die Hard.
Is that right? Untouchables and Die Hard came out the same year?
I don't know, but I remember I saw them around the same. RoboCop. I don't know. They're all around then.
That's right.
They're all generally around then. But okay, so we're all in agreement. We're going to give 5 movies
we really
liked.
Hound.
This 2000. So
I will attempt, but because I have fallen off on all of my movie watching. In fact, I'll go first and
because
say
of
that
your
I
will, drug problem.
Because of my drug
because
problem.
Because of his drug problem.
And that I'm banned from all theaters.
The Dedrick curse, as we call it.
Which is why they're all shutting down.
That's right. No, they are all shutting down. That's such a sad thing. I don't know when it happened. I'll say 12 years ago when I met my significant other, Jennifer. I'll blame her for it. My movie watching trailed off down to nothing. I'm down to maybe 1 or 2 movies a year.
She doesn't like watching movies?
Not the movies I want to see.
She's more of the reality
TV show person. You're living the dream. Why do you need to watch the dream?
She's like, you want to go see a movie? She's like, movie? Honey Boo Boo's on.
Yeah, she doesn't even know who Honey Boo Boo is. She doesn't even know the Honey Boo Boo reference.
She wouldn't even get that.
She wouldn't get that.
Wow.
Because she doesn't watch TV either. She's a music person.
That's when Winnie the Pooh and Boo Boo had sex. Their daughter is Honey Boo Boo. Is that correct?
That's right. And Yogi ate her because he's just so hungry all the time.
Yogi ate her.
She was hiding in a picnic basket, and the whole thing went sideways, boom. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, Yogi, why'd you eat my daughter? Now I've got to have sex again.
I guess maybe our parents are huge fans of Yogi Bear.
Oh, father.
Bear a very little brain.
Oh, he's stuck in this hole, and he can't get out. He's too fat for me.
I just noticed some weird resemblance of Yogi Bear to our parents' voices.
Yeah, Dawes Butler did the voices of all of our parents.
That's right. They just kind of went like, they moved their vows. And no, was that Dawes Butler who did the voice of Yogi Bear?
No, he did the voice of Boo
Boo. Boo
Boo. No, and I think Don Messick was Boo Boo.
What?
No. Dawes Butler was Boo Boo.
I don't think so.
Oh, if only we had a lot of movies to look this up.
Three.
Folks, we will look this up after the show and then tell you who's
then we'll know and we won't say anything about it.
Dawes Butler was also Elroy Judson, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he did the little voices.
He is. Yes, you're right. He did
okay.
Elroy.
Okay, he's the little
Dawes Butler did the little guy voices. That was his job. Like, think of him as the elf in St. George and the Dragonette. That sounds a lot to me like Boo Boo.
Keep talking. I'll look at the damn thing.
Okay.
Because I think Dawes did Quick Draw McGraw.
No.
He was
Bubba Louie.
Was he?
Yeah.
But Dawes did Huckleberry Hound.
I don't think so.
Jesus. Hold it.
He did.
Okay.
So let me tell my little quick story.
Yeah, tell your
here.
Quick story here.
So I only actually saw one movie this year. I saw Brave.
Okay.
That's it?
That was it. That's all I've seen in 2012. I can vouch for it.
That's not even on my list.
No, it's on my list. It's the number one movie.
It didn't even make my top 9.
No, I know. I'm going to make comments on yours.
I enjoyed Brave, but here we go.
I enjoyed it.
But... All right. Voices that Dawes Butler did.
Okay.
Augie Doggy, Baba Louie, Barney Rubble, with the Mel Blanc, mm-hmm. Big Gruesome, Captain Crunch, Chili Willy, Colonel Potshot, Elroy Judson.
Yeah.
In the original Flintstones, when it was called the Flagstones, he did Fred Flintstone.
Wow.
Goonie, Hokey Wolf, Huckleberry Hound, correct on that one.
Oh.
Libby the Lion, Loop de Loop, Maxie the Polar Bear, Peter Perfect, Peter Potamus, Quick Draw McGraw, again, correct.
Wow.
Quisp, Red Max, Scooby Dum, Sergeant
so he
Blast,
did,
Snagglepuss, Wally
voices.
Gator, and Yogi Bear.
But he did Boo Boo as well. Did it say that, or he did Baba Louie?
Let me look up who the voice of Boo Boo is. Continue with your life.
I think it will be Don Messick.
I would have thought you were right, Dave, and I am glad I shut my yap. I did not look like some kind of asshole.
I'm used to it, by the way.
Okay. I'm usually pretty good on cartoons and cartoon voices.
Okay.
That's my
superpower. Hence the one film you saw in 2012 was Brave. But you didn't go see Paranorman, which a lot of people liked a lot.
Yeah, no, I didn't see Wreck-It Ralph yet.
My daughter's raved about Paranorman.
Really? Is it on DVD this holiday season?
I don't know. I know.
Yeah,
sure.
It's out now.
Oh, is it out?
It's out right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, perhaps I'll see it on the weekend.
Okay. And so maybe I will, too.
And Wreck-It Ralph, quite good.
Yeah?
Oh, okay.
Quite good as well. I have it here as a side movie where I went, oh, that was clever and not what I expected. I expected it to be like Who Framed Roger Rabbit? They were going to do that for, like, video games. There's a bit of that, but then it goes in its own direction. And also, I think it's nice with the, you know, what they do with the little girl character. And I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay.
But they do some nice stuff. And also a good Edwin impression
that
some people thought was homophobic. But one, if you watch the movie, you see why it ain't. And two, it's Edwin.
It's Edwin, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let me.
Which I can't impersonate, but we all remember.
Do Edwin. You can do Edwin.
I can't do Edwin.
Everybody can do Edwin. Fiddle-dee-dee. And he's similar to the horrible snowman, or not snowman, the Charlie in the Box on Rudolph the Red.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like that. And he was very good in Mary Poppins.
He was. Laughing on the ceiling.
That's
there we
right.
go.
Lionel Richie.
Crying out loud.
Edwin.
Lionel Richie.
Trying to find.
Oh, what a feeling when you're laughing on the ceiling.
Okay. Who did Boo Boo's goddamn voice?
Oh, let's forget about this. Okay. All right, Ian.
You guys, talk amongst yourselves while this
is. Wait, no, just turn it off.
No, sir. I will not turn it
this
off.
This is why computers suck.
I got a bad
They're addictive. Ian's now, he's typing madly on the keyboard, trying to fight some person who's sending a worm into our system here. On
Ian, that's an Underwood. You'll never get anywhere on that.
Quick discussion on Brave. Not as good as the other Pixar movies, but
yeah.
Its own thing. It's really pretty.
It's okay.
It's very enjoyable.
I didn't feel like it was as developed as the other Pixar films.
No.
When you see a Pixar film, you feel like you just saw like 10 years of work go into something like, you know.
Unless you saw Cars 2.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's obviously a cash in. But just the, like, let's say a real Pixar film, like, you know, you just feel like they spent some time on it. You know what I mean? Like, it just goes through kind of a traditional Disney development where you have conceptual art that has absolutely nothing at all to do with the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you can see the conceptual art, like, you know, like, even with Disney films, like, you see the conceptual art for Jungle Book. Or Mary Poppins, not Mary Poppins, Alice in Wonderland and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, nowhere what you saw. It's just, it's like a springboard or whatever, just to kind of think about it or whatever.
Yeah, just to get ideas going. Yeah, yeah. Brave was that movie because it went that one way, then it took that right turn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I didn't, okay. I mean, that's how I almost said that out loud in the theater.
Yeah. You don't see a lot of movies of relationships between mothers and daughters. And so for that, I was like, oh, you're getting a little, good for you.
Yeah.
But the rest of the characters, like I'd just seen, not just seen, but like earlier that year, How to Train Your Dragon.
Mm.
And so when I saw all the Vikings, I was like, oh, these guys again.
Yeah.
This seems familiar. Here they are.
Yeah.
You got a kilt, eh? That's right. Let's see your bum.
I wonder if Pixar felt that. They're kind of like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. I don't know, because you would have thought that they would have shelved it somehow. Because they shelved that parrot one, or the iguana one, after that Rio.
Oh, Rango.
No, Rio, the bird. There was a parrot, bird, Rio.
There was Rio, yeah. And what was the other one they had?
They had one with an iguana, or a little lizard that had the same storyline, where he had to go back to South America to find his one mate.
Oh,
because
there
was nothing in the zoo or something, and they shelved the whole thing.
Yeah. Wow. That sucks.
Yeah. John Lasseter, he's ruthless.
Rio, not the greatest movie. Pretty good variation on the Angry Birds game. If you play the Angry Birds Rio, it's all right.
Okay.
It's all right. It's one of those rare occasions where, like, you know what? The video game was better than the movie.
Wow.
There's a case of that, like, who's the guy in Pitch Black? That's your Vin Diesel. And he plays Blindy Mc... Fist Punch. What's his character name? You know,
in what?
Riddick. He plays Riddick.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's
Riddick
the sequel
Bowe,
to Riddick
boxer.
Where Riddick fights Pierre Elliott Trudeau.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the actor who played Pierre Elliott Trudeau. But there's a
Colm Fiore.
Right. And there's a video game of it, like Escape to Butcher Bay, that's infinitely better than the sequel of the. It's like a better movie than that. Same with Ghostbusters, the video game, better than Ghostbusters 2.
You might as well be talking in Greek to me.
I will say that as well. All right.
Okay, and what's your fifth film? Are yours in particular order? Did you do it?
You know what?
Least favorite to favorite?
I'm going to say, no, I didn't do favorites.
Okay.
Because here's how I did it. I did movies that aren't necessarily perfect movies,
uh-huh.
but I thought were really interesting and different, and I'm
okay.
all for.
Well, these are, I just picked films that I really liked.
All right, hit me with number five, bro.
Number five for me was...
Call each other bro,
we'll agree on both. We'll both agree on this film. You probably put it higher than me, but number five for me was The Avengers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we are both lockstep on that one. Mine was probably number one.
Yeah, I figured you'd put it there because I know how much you liked it. And I really liked it too.
Why do you like The Avengers, sir?
Why did I? Well, because to me, it's the first successful superhero film that has been made so far. Like, really successful. Like, put all the elements together. I really liked Sam Raimi's first two Spider-Man films.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, to me, it just kind of answered some of the problems that those films have as well. And just I really liked the choices of actors that played the parts. And I don't know, it had fun, it had a sense of fun to it. It wasn't all serious, you know how comics nowadays are all kind of morbid and
it was
and
better
dark.
Comics than comics.
It was better, yeah, it was better comics than comics. It felt like we had stepped back into the 60s and it had that kind of spirit of adventure and excitement and what's going to happen next. No one knows.
It broke down what a regular Marvel comic used to be, which was the characters all have strong personalities. Mm-hmm. They get together. They don't care for each other. They fight.
There's a fight,
and saw
yeah.
that, they saw the fight, but oh, mm-hmm. something worse is coming. Better team up. Okay, yeah. here we go. And then they all team up and they're all buddies.
But they team up, but it does it in the proper way. Then they team up near the end of the film. That's when they finally coalesce into a true fighting force. And then it still has like the fun Joss Whedon elements of, you know, the guy playing Space Invaders on his or Gallagher or whatever.
Yeah,
on
it's Jossy enough without being too Jossy.
Yeah, yeah. It's not as ironic as Buffy, you know, and it...
Doesn't just break down the structure like Cabin in the Woods
my
does.
My one complaint about Joss Whedon is his love of killing characters. I just can never get totally behind, like, I still cannot get behind him killing Wash in Firefly, and I'm sorry if... Or Serenity. I'm sorry if I just...
But you had no problem with him killing the Preacher.
What Preacher?
In Serenity.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
Okay,
yeah.
But everyone talks about Wash. No one seems to care about them killing Ron Glass.
Yeah, no, well.
No one gives a shit about Ron Glass.
Because in the film, he's really a minor character
in the
film. But you're right, you're right.
I'm just saying, if you watch
yeah,
the
I didn't
show,
like that.
That's a good character, too.
It was a great character
no
in the show.
No one ever mentions it. Like, oh, you son of a bitch. Why? Yeah. For killing Ron Glass. What?
Yeah.
Never.
Because in the movie, though, his character is so, it's hardly anything, it's so, if. I don't know what the word would be. It's so on the side, right?
But you know what
does? In the show, he's much more important.
When you kill Ron Glass, you go, ah, Joss killed a guy. We're done.
Yeah.
We're done, everybody.
Yeah.
Killed a guy. We're going to have a funeral at the end. Everything's
yeah.
cool.
This is
and we're
thing.
Going to, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't. Well,
I think you mean, whoosh. That's what I said. Whoosh. So, Ian, what's your number
no,
five?
No, let me just say something about Avengers
okay.
As well.
I don't want to hear about it. Go with your number
Is that right?
Five. No, say it.
Okay.
I want to hear it.
I thought Spider-Man, it's like Spider-Man 2, I thought was like my favorite superhero movie up to that point, because mm-hmm. I thought they captured what the deal was with Spider-Man well.
Yeah.
Good action, good adventure, mm-hmm. good everything. But the thing that blows me away about Avengers is that should not have worked. That was, I mean, after it happens, you go, well, obviously, people are going to want to see all those guys together. What? That
yeah.
seems hard as fuck.
Yeah.
You've got to balance all of these characters, and that it was so well balanced.
Some are become slightly changed, like the Hulk character.
Yes.
It's kind of inexplicable why he can suddenly control his Hulkness.
Oh, no, it's
and
not.
Channel it to this fight.
But that happened in the comics, didn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
But like in the film, he's way less predictable.
Right, but in the film, when he's fighting it, when he's fighting his nature and it comes out, that's when he's angry drunk.
Okay.
When he's like, hey,
oh, okay.
you know, when he's like, I'm in it.
Okay.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
That's when he's that Hulk.
Okay.
So the
that's
go
reasonable.
With that.
I'll yeah. go with that. I'll and, go with that they, imaginary explanation.
There's another thing.
Sounded very scientific.
They made the Hulk work. And the Hulk
yeah.
has had a lot of movies where
yeah.
the Hulk don't work.
No.
And like he just like
but
in,
because...
in a few seconds it was like, that's what the Hulk is. And when Hulk's smashing shit, you're like, oh shit, I love the Hulk. You've done the impossible.
Because like in because
I love
like in
Hawkeye.
But it's
you're
because,
making me like Hawkeye.
But it's because in real life
Hawkeye is a jerk.
But no, I just mean because in the comics I mean, the characters aren't enough to carry like a whole film themselves, but it's okay having them part of a group where
yeah.
their personalities can mix and match. You know, like we wouldn't want to see a whole Black Widow movie. Maybe
you
we
wouldn't want to see a whole Hawkeye TV show. By mm-hmm. the way, enjoy Arrow, everybody.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, the guy. Here's the thing about Arrow.
I thought
Arrow.
It was about the old car, the old Pierce Arrow.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
around.
It was about the Avro Arrow. It was going to be the Canadian.
Oh,
see,
I should have gone
what
Canadian.
What happened to that
but...
plane where it has secret adventures afterwards?
Yeah.
Sure, they trashed it.
Yeah, they got
wink,
rid of them all.
Wink. Or maybe it's fighting the commies. One of the two. Which one are we going to go with? By the way, I may be pitching that idea. I like that now
yeah,
that I'm saying
that's
it.
Good.
All right. I'm going to throw one out that's probably on your list as well.
Okay.
Moonrise Kingdom.
Number one on my list.
Ah, very good.
Number one. That was my absolute favorite film
now,
this year.
Now, this was Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
Yes.
See,
yeah.
I should have seen this.
You should have seen
and
it.
I should have bumped into you at the theater, because that's the tradition.
Well, there you go. That's true. But yeah. we saw it downtown. We saw it at Tinkletown, as we call it. Because that's what a student called it to Lisa one time, my wife at school.
So that's where you go to
we're
pee.
We're going to Tinkletown to see a movie. I think it's called Tinseltown, dear. But
you stupid child.
But
taste the back of my hand.
But I really thought that film... Like, all the things that might irritate you about Wes Anderson didn't exist in that film. Or if they did exist, they were kind of submerged into that whole film.
I think the long sweeping looks at the set, that was still very Wes Anderson. If
but,
you don't like that in a Wes Anderson movie,
yeah.
there's a lot of that in this
At the beginning.
Yeah?
At the beginning. But once the story gets going, forget about it. He kind of, it seems like the editing kind of took over more than the...
And a real ballsy movie. They make some choices there that you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Little girl in a bra. Wait a second. Right, what am I looking at here?
Right. Yeah, all right. Oh, gutsy. All right.
Prepubescent love.
Okay, I guess. Yeah, in this world where everyone's so scared of that kind of thing and being accused of this, that, or the other, was just like, eh, there you go. All right. Cool. Ballsy. Good for you.
It's great. And the music in that film is so well used and so well chosen.
Now, I got three weird ones for my last three.
Okay.
So would you want to go? Because I just did mine. Back to you.
Okay. Moonrise Kingdom. So my number three film was the movie Haywire.
Oh, that was the one with some fighting in it.
Right? Yeah. Gina Carano, I think her name is, a Steven Soderbergh film.
Right.
But what I liked about that movie was that it took it out. And I was doing some research about her the other day. I mean, I was looking up images of her, sexy pictures of her online.
Ah.
Because I was reading about the I was reading some best
ofs
of the year.
Drum Circle Night.
I was reading the best ofs of the year, and Haywire came up on some of them. And
that's the movie I always think I haven't seen, and then someone goes, "How about this? Oh, I saw that.
Yeah,
I liked it, but I always forget that."
And so I was kind of like wondering, what's she doing now? And so I was looking up some, and it looks like she's doing some films that you would expect a person who comes out of MMA to do in Hollywood, right?
Right.
But Haywire isn't that kind of movie. Like Haywire is a kind of a classy spy action movie that has a real 70s plot of backstabbing, you know, double dealing and all that kind of, you know, and she's really great in it. And the other thing is she's a really sexy woman, but she's not a petite, skinny Hollywood actress, which drives me crazy when you see skinny Hollywood actresses being so strong in a movie. There's absolutely no way that person's strong because they have no base. Like if you see women athletes, depending what sport they play, but if they're doing wrestling and stuff like that, they need a heavy bottom part of their body, right? Women aren't as muscly as men, so they have to kind of make up for it by being big and having that kind of bigness to help. And so she's that kind of person too. She's got big legs, big middle section, small torso,
mm-hmm.
and then she's muscly. She's actually a person who fights, right? So she's built that way. And so it's fun to watch her do these really interesting compact fights in small places. Like there's a scene where she's fighting a guy in a hallway and she kind of grabs onto him and turns herself up, walks up the wall and flips over and flips him as well. And there's a fun fight between her and Michael Fassbender. Is that the actor's name?
Yes. Michael Fassbender. If you're thinking, who's that actor? It's Michael Fassbender.
Who's that handsome actor she's fighting?
It's Michael Fassbender.
And she's fighting this. And it's also in a compact area.
Who does Optimus Prime turn into? Is it a truck or is it? It's Michael Fassbender. He turns into Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender.
That's Fassbender. Yes. I get you. Yeah. So. And then,
by the way, that's as good as this show's going to get. That was the peak, everybody.
Well, I'm
Shark Knight. Jumped.
Let's stop it there, everyone. Click. And then I just like there's a scene where she's trying to escape the situation, and it's just her kind of running. There's a couple of scenes of her running where she's just running, and I really like actors made to run in films because you know there's so often we see movies with actors who are clearly not in shape and should not be pretending that they are. And so I love a Daniel Craig or a Matt Damon or a Gina Carano who can run and do it and look fit and be fit in the film. And but, you know, like, so I kind of feel kind of sorry for her because her career has peaked as an actress. The rest of her career is playing like in stuff that Dolph Lundgren turns down, and they'll turn their character into a female character so she can play
her,
it.
I could see her fighting a Black Widow in a future Avengers movie.
Would be great. If that was, you know, recognized, you know what I mean? But it just seems unlikely that, you know, besides a weirdo like Steven Soderbergh, that someone's going to jump on to that and use her in that way. Because this film, she's not a great actress, but he surrounds her with good actors.
Yeah, you just give her a little to do and bounce it off.
So it's got Bill Paxton.
She comes across natural, it's fine.
Ewan McGregor, you know, Michael Fassbender. So you've got people that can act and can, you know, I did like it quite a bit. All right, so your next film, your next weird movie.
Oh, okay. You should see that. It's downloadable on whatever your cable package is.
Excellent. I will do that.
Yes,
right.
It's often on movie time.
This is one I saw recently. There's actually two here that I saw recently. This one was Sleepwalk With Me.
Okay, I did not see that.
Sleepwalk With Me is a story of Mike Birbiglia. Mm-hmm. It was produced by This American Life, the radio show. And the idea is he's a stand-up comic, and he's sort of coming into his own as a stand-up comic, but not acknowledging that he's got a sleepwalking disorder. I forget what it's exactly called, but it's one where you act out what you do.
Yeah.
So if you're running, all of a sudden you're running through your hallway.
Mm.
And it's the story of him.
Because when we sleep, our body produces some sort of a chemical that relaxes our body so that even during dreams and stuff like that, we don't react to the dream. We just lay it in a state of, you know, but his body doesn't.
But no dice on this guy.
So when what's happening in the dream, he reacts to physically.
So if he thinks he's winning the Olympics and he's standing on a podium, he's like standing on a table.
Yeah.
And will then like walk off and like wake up in midair and hitting the ground. And, apparently it goes into a dark place with that. But it's his life getting more and more stressful as he goes on the road as a stand-up comic and getting more and more distant from his girlfriend who wants to get married and have babies. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's his dad telling him to, you know, straighten up. And Carol Kane plays his mom and plays his mom great.
Wow.
Dad, I forget the dad's name, but he's in every movie in the world.
Michael Fassbender.
No, not a good looking guy.
Okay.
Peter Fassbender.
And he plays a little too sitcom-y for me, but she's dead on great. And he's narrating the whole thing, and it's very, very funny. He did it as a one-man show, so it's got a little of that taste to it. It's not perfect as a movie, because it was obviously originally a one-person show, so it's a lot of him talking to the camera.
Yeah.
But you're used to it if you've watched Woody Allen movies. You're like, I get this conceit. There's one part, you know, where he's about to do something not so great, and he turns to him at the audience and just goes, "Now remember, you're on my side." Oh. Goes back into it. It's like, "You're right, we are on your side. We shouldn't be on your side, but we are."
It's hard with it.
And it's funny. It's funny, touching, and got some interesting stuff. Again, not a perfect movie, but well worth a look, and it's free on Netflix Canada.
Okay.
So check it. Well, not free. You got to pay $8 a month, but it's there. And it's available everywhere else too, iTunes or wherever you want.
Nice. So my number two film is the Whit Stillman film, Damsels in Distress.
Which I have not seen yet.
Which I saw. I've seen twice now.
Which you abandoned your daughters to see.
Which I abandoned my daughters to see in Bellingham,
in a wolfy area of the States.
I don't know if Jason knows the story.
I don't think I do.
It's in a place called Kidnapper's Alley.
I've driven past it.
What happened was
where Batman's parents were killed. It's right next door to that.
I really wanted to see this film. It was playing here in town. It was playing here in Vancouver, but I missed it. It was here for a week.
I was going to go, too easy, you said.
It was here for a week, and then it left. So then I was like, where is it playing? So I looked online, and I found it was playing down in Bellingham at a theater. So the family and I, we all trooped down there to see it.
You should take a car.
It turned out...
Hell of a walk.
It was a long walk. But, you know, my scouting background...
Oh, of course.
And there's no room for all their instruments.
And there's no room...
Did I mention they're a traveling band?
We're a traveling... yes. Traveling band. So we're marching down, playing instruments. And I play the trombone, as everyone knows.
Yeah.
And also the drum circle. And so... but we got down there. When we finally got down there after a two-day walk... It turns out that the theater is licensed, so children or minors cannot go in.
Oh.
And of course, this is the fucking United States, so it's 21. You can't even get into a theater. You can't go see a movie unless you're 21 years old.
Right.
Which, of course, the other problem down there is you can't go into – I've already ranted about this. You can't go into restaurants, of course, unless you're 21 or older down in the States. It just seems kind of weird to me that – no, I'm joking. Because it doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, you can go into a restaurant where they serve alcohol with children, but you can't go into a movie where they serve alcohol.
I'm a 19-year-old. Let me be you.
Okay.
Hello, Mr. Dedrick. So you're saying I can't go into this movie theater?
No.
Can I go and die for my country overseas?
Yes, you can.
Well, that sounds fair. Off I go. I'll see you in 3 years. 3 years of my service, and then I'll come back, and hopefully I can get into this movie theater where I don't even drink. I'll just sit and watch next to someone who drinks. Goodbye, Mr. Dedrick. Off I go on my plane.
Yes. Accompanied by adults.
He didn't come back. Yeah. He didn't come back.
Because
he liked the food so much. So he stayed over there and opened a small restaurant.
He just loved hummus. Could not get enough of it. No, Damsel in Distress. I've seen it twice. The first time I saw it, because the problem when I say movie I really want to see is
don't blink.
I'm so that's right. And my eyes get really dry.
That's right.
And then
5 minutes is fine.
And then my contacts fall out.
Crystallization happens.
I wish I was my daughter's out in the rain.
That's right. So yeah, the girls, they actually said that's okay. They're like, it's okay, Dad. I know you want to see the movie, so we'll just wait. And you guys go see the film, and then we'll go. So, I mean, they volunteered. I was ready to go home.
Sure.
They're like, no, you came all this way. You bought us gelato.
Right.
Let's...
You're nodding to this. Well, you actually have the tickets in hand, and you're in the lobby, and they're outside. Oh, that's just okay with you?
We spent $100 on used books that we can sit and read while we're waiting for you to come. So then, because it's always expensive for us to go to Bellingham because of used bookstores.
Like
just like go down and see
a
movie.
Fancy donut shops.
Let's go down and see a movie $150
Hats.
Later.
Hats.
So... But yeah, I'm so anticipating it that when I see the film, the whole time I'm just like, is this as good as I thought it was going to be? Oh, I don't know. I feel kind of disappointed now because it wasn't like the masterpiece I wanted.
Oh, that's
it looks kind of... But I saw it again on DVD and I was like, this movie's really funny. Why are we doing
it? I don't know what that guy was talking about.
I don't know what I was thinking when I watched it the first time.
Let me call past self. Ring, ring. Hello, past self, Dedrick. Yeah. Stop calling me in the movie theater, future self, Dedrick.
It's different
get
than...
Get kicked out of here.
It's different than his early films. It's not like a kind of realistic moment in time for a particular, you know, his particular preppy kind of class that he liked to, that his movies tend to be about, you know, reflecting his upbringing and everything. It's more of a fantasy film. It kind of exists in its own kind of made up world with a particular kind of college life that would never exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, no characters in the film, you do kind of see them every once in a while, but no one uses a cell phone.
Mm.
And when they're talking to you, no one's ignoring the other guy tapping on his phone, which is totally unrealistic, right? Like if you're sitting at a table in a restaurant nowadays, no one's looking at each other. Everyone's like got phones in their hand and they're pushing buttons on it, right? So it's this kind of different sort of imaginary world. But it's totally charming for that reason. And the film, you know, it's as funny as all his movies. And the actress, whose name has now gone out of my head.
Michelle
Fassbender is really good in her part as the
android.
As the android who betrays them all. Yeah. And implants the alien embryo in one of her other
They are in distress.
Yes, they are in distress. There's a distress beacon that lures it's damsels in distress beacon that lures the ship, the Momoko or whatever it's called, that comes down from the Nostromo.
Right.
That comes down for the company Momoko. Is that the name of the company? Yeah.
Is this a sequel to his film Space Manhattan?
That's right. Space Manhattan. Very good. Very good. Yes. So, it's a very, very good film. I highly recommend it to people.
Very good. It's not out on DVD yet.
It is.
Oh, is it?
It is. I saw it on DVD. Yeah.
Well, then I will have to legally download it.
And me too.
Very good. This is one I saw 2 days ago.
Oh,
wow. But it still counts because it's 2012.
Yep.
And I'm going to say it because it was different enough. It worked great on its own genre.
Yep.
And a very entertaining Premium Rush.
What is that?
I know. What is that? It's about a bike messenger who gets the wrong package.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Kinda,
it's got the guy from Looper in it.
Yeah, that's right.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
G. Gordon-Liddy is in it.
Michael Fassbender.
He's strangling people with piano wire every so often.
Lighting a match in his hand.
Yeah, the secret is not to mind. Yeah. Wait, no, I'm thinking about him when he was in Lawrence of Arabia. It's that guy that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so you start off with like, hey, you know, here's how you bike message, and it's in New York, and it's exciting. And you're seeing like when he comes to a corner, it's like he can go this way or that way, and you see the different scenarios where if he went this way, blessings on you this holiday season.
Thank you.
If you go right, he hits a baby. If he goes this way, he gets hit by a car. If he goes this way, someone tries to dodge him and they get hit by a truck, and then he goes this way and he survives. So that's his mind working inside his mind. It's kind of like with Sherlock, where Sherlock Holmes, the movie Sherlock Holmes, where you replay thing, but he replays it multiple times. So that's a good little device. You're like, oh, clever.
Yeah.
But also it's really exciting.
We haven't seen that before. Except in the movie Sherlock. Yeah.
But you only see it once in Sherlock.
You see it a lot in Sherlock.
No, but I mean you only see one scenario. Like you don't see if this guy does I have to do this.
Okay.
If this guy does that, I have to do that. And he plays out multiple ones.
That's true.
Run Lola Run.
Yeah,
it's got
a real Run Lola Run feel to it. And then he gets involved in some trouble, but he's a nice ethical guy, and he's ethical in a way that you believe it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those movies that keeps bumping forward and back in time. So you're like, oh, who's that jerk who's after him? And then you see, what's that jerk story? You go, oh, and then they add this. Oh, and then they add this. Oh, and you're like, well,
they'll turn into Italian-American. Oh,
and you're like, where are they going to go? Are they
what's
gonna go
he doing?
Too far with the action where you don't buy it or not? And they almost do, but it's like, it's a really good action ending. Wow. It's really good. And it's satisfying. The villain.
Did you see this in the theater?
No, I saw it on my PlayStation.
Oh,
I downloaded it to my PlayStation legally. I really am downloading it legally. I'm not
lying. I believe you.
But the cop is like so borderline comedy character, but good, like this kind of guy, just, come on, give it to me. Felt like it's almost your dad's. It's like, guys, come on. Listen, punk.
It's a premium rush.
Listen, I'm a cop, see? Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff.
Punk's like you were a dime a dozen.
Yeah. We were just like watching it with my wife. We were both like, that cop's great. And like all the side characters are great. There's another just cop who's trying to chase him on a bike who keeps getting into accidents. It's just great. Every character, they gave something good to do. Right. The plot is tight. It moves along at a great pace. It shouldn't be good, and it's good. So Premium Rush, see that movie.
Awesome.
Okay, well, that concludes.
No.
Because I had Moonrise Kingdom as my
I've got one more, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have not said five.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You started, sir.
Oh, right.
All right.
Sorry.
And here's my wild card one that I saw that I went, good for you guys, Roller Town.
Roller Town.
Oh, okay.
Picnic Faces movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, again, is not a perfect film, but it reminds me of very early Monty Python,
okay,
where they didn't quite know what they were doing, but you were like, oh, man, I want to see what happens next.
Okay.
And there was enough good funny that the audience was consistently laughing. Some things don't work. You could have had a stronger character thing of this, but damn it, that's new. It really felt like something new. And even though I'm comparing it to Python, it felt like its own thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only thing I was kind of
could have lost a parrot sketch.
Could have. When I first saw the premise of it, I just went, it kind of bugs me when people make fun of stuff that's not in their own wheelhouse. It's just like, oh, so you're making fun of the 70s. That seems well-trod ground. You know, why are people this young? It was like when I saw the movie Fido. And do you know the movie Fido? It's a zombie film. It's taking place in the 50s.
Yeah.
And they really play up, you know, people were too uptight in the 50s.
Oh, and he has like a pet zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And it's that. And it's just like, I knew some of the writers and, you know, good people, but I was just like, why are you making fun of the 50s? That's not your thing. Like, you're making fun almost of the stereotype of the 50s that was made fun of by people in the 70s who remember the 50s.
Yeah.
So you're doing a copy of a copy. And so I was like worried. It was like, well, you're just making fun of the 70s movies you've seen and not the 70s. Why don't you make fun of the 80s or whatever was your thing?
Yeah.
But they deliver on it.
Okay.
Like, it works for the costumes. And the only way that you could do a roller disco movie would be in the 70s.
Right.
And the roller skating gives it a unique, weird aspect. And it's worth a watch. Definitely worth a watch. And I hope those guys get to do more. Them being taken off the air on the Comedy Network was ridiculous. It makes the Comedy Network should not exist anymore.
Oh,
there's no purpose.
I missed a movie too.
Oh, well, too bad we don't have time for that.
Maybe next
year. All
right,
give me it.
It was actually number four. I don't know how I missed it.
Do you know what? Here's what I want you to do. You say the name of it, and Jason, who's been a little shut out of this, has to say what's good about it.
Okay.
Even if you haven't seen it, you just make it up.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, what's your movie?
Good luck with this one. It's The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Very good.
Oh,
okay,
what do
you think, Jason?
That's just what I was here for this movie conversation. The Perks of Being a Wallflower. This is a story about a young girl. It takes place in the 50s, ironically, but they don't make fun of the 50s.
No.
Yeah. It takes place in the 50s,
okay,
and she is a wallflower, so much so that she actually gets papered over.
It's true.
In a dance hall.
And it's not discovered till years later.
It's the perks of being a wallpaper.
It's sort of
that's what it leads up. That's the sequel.
That's the sequel.
It's Samuel L. Jackson comes out of the end.
Yeah.
Stay for the credits.
Stay the end of the credits.
If you liked Encino Man,
you will love whatever the next movie is.
By the way, my idea for an Encino Man type movie that I came up with, it's a Viking, okay? And he gets he gets frozen and he gets thawed out in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's Eric the Rad.
There you go. No, The Perks of Being a Wallflower, it actually takes place in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
And it's a boy who's had some personal problems. He's come back to school and he's kind of by himself. His friends have, I think he's at a different school or he's dislocated.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know his exact problems, but he's had some personal issues and his parents are worried about him. And he starts going back to school where it's a little scary, but he meets these group of older kids who accept him and bring him into their coterie. And it's a really fun film. And part of the fun is that the music, they like the Smiths, they like Dexy's Midnight Runners, stuff like that, you know, like the kind of stuff that we listened to when we were that age, kind of the stuff that not everyone else was listening to.
Mm-hmm.
They like to go see the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which once again was this fun kind of late 70s, early 80s trend that everyone wanted to do. And so, and they, you know, so it's all part of that kind of time period. And it's really well presented, and it's also very moving. It's
now, did your daughters, Millicent and Phyllis, see this as well?
Well, actually, Phyllis saw it first.
Okay. Now, is Phyllis the oldest or the youngest?
She's the youngest.
I can't remember the fake names.
Phyllis is the youngest.
Okay. And she's the one that talks like this. I like my grandpa, see? I like talking like
that. A lot of Dedrick blood. Let's do a minstrel show.
Let's get on the trolley and see the pictures.
But she saw it and liked it so much that she made us go see it with her again.
Oh, cool.
And I have to say, it was well worth seeing. I really enjoyed it. And she didn't think I would like it. She's like, oh, I don't think this is a movie for Dad. But I really liked it a lot, actually. I found it really, really good.
Because normally you sit, watch movies with your arms crossed, smoking a pipe.
Well, usually...
angrily.
I usually go with my drum circle friends.
Sure. In the back row.
Yeah, we sit in the back row together, kind of in a circle. And it does get a little noisy.
Wow.
I'm not going
to... Do not eat the popcorn.
Used to go to the Ridge and sit in the baby room, and that was okay. But anywhere else you go.
Nowhere, yeah.
Yeah, you do go in that room and just go, oh, baby!
Boom, 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 boom.
My wife gave me some passes to the Ridge and other theaters. You can go to others, but I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to the Ridge before it shuts down. Speaking of movie theaters that are going to shut down.
Is it shutting down? Yeah.
It's going to shut down.
See, the Ridge used to be... But the Ridge used to be a repertory theater, right? That you could go there and see films. Like we saw the Marx Brothers.
Yep.
Night of the Opera, Day of the Races there. Mm-hmm. Even though they were horrible prints, that stuff was cut out of them, which was really annoying. You could go there and see. I saw like Buster Keaton films there. I didn't see
It's weird that I saw Itchy the Killer as well there.
Yeah?
Which is one of the most disturbing movies I've ever seen.
After we saw Reservoir Dogs in its first run, I went and saw it there with my wife.
Also used to always see the Spike and Mike Animation Festival there.
Yeah, the big animation festival.
I remember Dana Carvey showed up there once and did stand-up.
That's right, for a few nights, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's...
Back when that mattered.
I know, that's what I was thinking in my head. That's taking a second.
Dana Carvey.
Open with Wayne's World. Close with Wayne's World. Bush in the middle. I'm out! Isn't that special? Tag it. Encore it with Isn't That Special.
Move on.
Well, you should become an agent.
I should.
An agent for change. Well, Ian, you get to close the show. So.
Okay. We are going to miss the Ridge when it closes. This year we have missed the Granville 7 Cinemas. Unfortunately, that is closed.
Yeah.
Support your local movie theaters. Get out there and see movies. Don't be like me and watch them on your PlayStation after you play a video game.
Don't be like me and not see a movie all year long except for the one.
Brave.
And then get invited to a movie in review.
We saw you at Brave, didn't we? We saw you at the theater I don't know.
No, you didn't see me at Brave. You saw me at...
Since you only saw Brave, story really...
You had me at Hello, but you saw me at... What? Fantastic Mr. Fox, but that was 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what... I'm just conflating my life into one...
David, you're crazy. Crazy as a Fantastic Mr. Fox.
That's true. Crazy like a Fantastic Mr. Fox.
And I think I made Jennifer go see Princess and the Frog? What was that?
The Disney one?
The Disney one.
Yeah. Right.
And I think you guys were there that night seeing something else.
So you saw Brave and Fox. You're working your way through that keyboard thing where you spell everything. But you're going to go see Quick. You're going to see the movie The Quick and the Dead. Then you're going to see... I don't know.
Whenever he releases.
Is there a movie called Brown?
It's my QWERTY-based movie viewing system.
All right. Everyone shut up. This is where we plug things that we're doing. Anything that we should look of yours. We're putting up some clips of Jason online where he's singing songs. He's in a cowboy hat. There's a Christmas special. That's all going to be on our Facebook page. Maybe it'll be on our webpage. That's up to David if he wants to do that or not. Anything you want to plug or mention or something people could follow you on or look and see you about?
Nobody can see me anywhere on account of I'm invisible. I used to be Canada's sweetheart. I was Canada's sweetheart for a few years. If you get an old copy of Robson Arms, you will see me on every episode of Robson Arms doing the tunes at the top of the show.
Cool.
Otherwise, you got to wait for me in local community theater productions near you.
Robson Arms is on DVD.
It is. All three seasons on DVD. Even some public libraries have it. So get out there and borrow it and see if we can get it back on the air.
is that going to happen?
No, it's Canada.
You know what? Actually, to be fair, the new Beachcombers came out. The new Degrassi came out.
Well, that's true.
The new Robson Arms could come out.
It could. It'll take 20 years. But it'll come out.
Actually, I think nostalgia is getting tighter and tighter. Don't worry about it. Maybe 10 years. 10 years, we're going to get a movie, like a made-for-TV movie of like, where's everyone now? And all murdered turns out to be the thing.
Wow. But yeah, that's where you can see me. Otherwise, enjoy the clips that Ian and Dave will be putting up.
Yeah, we'll give you some linkity-loos. If you want to come see me on the 10th of January, I'm going to be doing my show Sideswipe, which is a new improv show, at the Stormcrow Tavern on Commercial, which is a D&D-based tavern. Very fun tavern. A lot of games, board games, things to play. Irrelevant show, my superhero special. A lot of sketches that I wrote just came out on the web. So Irrelevant show, show. Go check that out. And, you know, a whole bunch of Bongo comics. Bart Simpson comics. I got a story in that. Simpsons Super Spectacular, Simpsons comics, and Futurama comics. I'm in the latest issue of all those. I wrote those ones.
Wow.
So, great. David, how anything for you to mention? Something you're going to do? Something you're looking forward to?
I'm not doing nothing.
Okay.
I'm taking a well-earned rest.
Are you going to have a New Year's party?
Nope.
Very good.
I'm not.
We might be doing the same thing. We might be going to former guest,
friend of the show.
Former friend of the show, David Fine's house, and also watching movies.
Yes.
That could be happening.
So I think tomorrow I'm going to go see Django Unchained.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice. Because
I want to see it.
All right. Don't spoil it for us next week.
I will spoil it for you.
All right. David's going to spoil next week's show, so if you don't want that spoiled, don't listen to next week's show. We're starting off the new year saying do not listen to our show.
No longer listen to Sneaky Dragon, everybody.
All right. I would like to thank Dedrick number one, David Dedrick, my co-host, also for a lovely year of shows. I would like to thank new Dedrick, Jason Dedrick, here for being on the show. I would like to thank me. I'm going to make myself an honorary Dedrick just for today. Ian Dedrick. Oh, that really makes David me sound Dedrick. Like a Nazi.
No.
You know what? It's a British name.
You know what? To all from all of us to all of you, you're all Dedricks in our heart. Happy holidays.
My grandfather.
Oh, why don't you let me end the show?
My grandfather Adolf always told us it was a British name.
Can I say one thing and then we'll let Ian end the show?
Yeah. Merry Christmas to all and to all the good. You know, I got one more thing to say.
I want to thank you guys for having me on the show. And I want to say I'm a big fan of the show. I've listened to not all of the episodes because who could? I've done my best. I really have. And is this honestly the first episode that a siren hasn't gone by? I've been waiting to take a drink all goddamn night. There's not been a siren.
Wow.
That is a good point. You know what? This is the best holiday ever.
This will go down in history.
No one's been hurt. No police have been called.
Yeah.
Yet.
Or something really bad has happened.
Yeah.
And they've all been called to a different part of town.
That's right. They all went the opposite direction.
Okay, there. We're going to just end it there. Thanks, everyone. Happy holidays. You're all swell. We appreciate you listening to the show. Write us. We'd like to hear from you. Come on our page and click things. You know how the internet works. Fuck, you know how it works. If you click enough, maybe you'll come on the show. I don't know. We might need guests. Who knows? Okay. Happy holidays. Bye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Is the hardest part. Hey guys, I thought of five other movies. You're like, what?